Wow. Thank you. Now we know what a horn choir really means. I want to tell you that this particular tune, Thine is the Glory, has been so much a great part of my life. My early years in the 70s in ministry, I had a weekly radio program that was broadcast over Africa. And this was the signature tune that was played every time, twice a week, before the broadcast. So you can imagine how this simply touched every form of my being. Thank you so much for bringing this to us this morning. Since the beginning of time, the difference between light and darkness had a huge influence on everything that happened in this world. Whenever engulfed by darkness, uncertainty and fear take hold. When light breaks through, everything changes and new hope is born. In the Bible, light is associated with God and the difference that God makes in the world. Now, just listen how powerful the Gospel according to John describes the origin of our Christian faith. So let us read from the first chapter, the first 9 verses of the Gospel according to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. But even long before the time of the New Testament, prophets of old predicted the eventual triumph of light over darkness. The prophet Isaiah speaks as if it already happened. In the 9th chapter of Isaiah, we read verses 2 through 4. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with the joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. May you and I, through God's Spirit, be able to hear. It is now 2008. So many centuries later, may we understand and interpret what Scripture tells us today. My friends, even in our country, in the days before electrical light, people often had to improvise to avoid being in darkness. It is a simple fact of life. Many people still fear a darkness. Talking about darkness, fear, and uncertainty, I love the evergreen story of little Johnny, whose mother sent him to fetch a bag of fresh tomatoes from the pantry. It was dark in there, and little Johnny was too scared to go in. But his mom kept yelling from the kitchen for him to hurry up. So he yelled back and said that he was scared and it was dark in there. And mother yelled back again, "It's okay, Johnny. Johnny, please. Jesus is also there. There's no need to be scared." So the little guy then peeped in and loudly said, "Jesus, if you are in there, please hand me the tomatoes." As Christians, we build our faith on our firm belief in Jesus Christ. God called us out of the darkness into light. And we believe that our mission is to spread the light. Therefore, there's a paragraph printed in today's worship sheet providing detail of how our Cuvadas Faith Initiative and the model that we believe will strengthen our beloved church ministry and mission in years to come. We want to conform to the great command, and as a church of Jesus Christ, we want to be obedient and we want to follow until we pass the torch to our next generation. It cost Jesus more to let that light shine than we can ever imagine. Long ago, he scared the scribes and Pharisees of his time. And how did he do that? By words? No. By shining light into their darkness. By addressing the darkness that they were in. And that brought fear in their hearts and animosity from that time on. Because he revealed to them how depraved, how false, how dark their superstitions and prejudices were. He also scared the political rulers of his time, and they considered him soon to be a rebel because he was talking about justice for the poor. He was talking about loving rather than hating. He was talking about light rather than darkness. And that's how we get to know and understand something about Jesus in Scripture. He refused to look down upon the Samaritan woman at the well. He often, against the custom of his time, ate with sinners, unbelievers. At the time, he kneeled down to lift up a woman of the streets. And eventually, darkness attempted to extinguish the light that Jesus brought by arresting, accusing, condemning, and murdering Jesus. The cross on Calvary ended his earthly life. But it was not Jesus, but the darkness that suffered defeat. And that is the core of our Easter story. The light was not extinguished on Golgotha, but the light kept shining. And we have something in our customs also in this church to signify that truth. Every year at Christmas, we symbolically light a Christ candle, and then the ushers come and spread that Christ light And the rest of us hold smaller candles in our hands. And as the Christ light arrives, we light our little candles one after another until we have all received the light. That's our custom. We do it almost without thinking every year. From one to other, we spread the light until all of us carry the light of Christ. And then we sing, Silent Night, Holy Night. The world discovered that Jesus could not be killed, that the light had come to stay, and that darkness would rule no more. And it's so beautiful, some years later, after the time of Jesus, Peter, the aged apostle, we believe it was him, we're not sure, but we know that he couldn't write, but he wrote some letters, apparently by using what they call an amanuensis, that is somebody who would listen to the words and then write it down. But here are the thoughts that Peter had years and years after the days that he walked with the Master. He wrote, and I believe to the next generation and to us, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Friends, brothers, sisters, during the darkest days of the American Civil War, a delegation called at the White House with a sad report of the crisis facing America at that time. And Lincoln comforted the delegation with this story. Years ago, said Lincoln, a young friend and I saw a shower of meteors fell from the clear November sky. My friend was so frightened, but I told him to look up in the sky past the shooting stars to the fixed stars beyond, shining serene in the firmament. And then Lincoln said, let us not mind the meteors, but let us keep our eyes on the stars. Some lights shine as a fixed reminder of a permanent reality. The light that Jesus brought originates, according to our deepest faith, from far beyond the stars. We believe it. Yes, we believe that it shines from the heart of our God. America brought forth another son of its own in the person of Martin Luther King. In his famous speech in the shadow of the Lincoln Monument, he said, we must forever conduct our struggle on the high plane of dignity and discipline. We must not allow our creative protest to degenerate into physical violence. Again and again, we must rise to the majestic heights of meeting physical force with soul force. And this soul force that King referred to is the same light that also shines into the American struggle for true dignity and respect for all. irrespective of the differences that keep people apart in our times. Loved one, no person is strong enough to carry the cross of Jesus coupled with a prejudice at the same time. When you carry the cross of Jesus Christ in your life of faith, there is no room, there is no place for a single prejudice. No cross, no bullet can destroy true light. God's light that is still shining into darkness. And if you are serious, and I think that is our Cuvadis challenge, if you are serious about letting Christ's light shine into today's world, it will cost you. It will cost you. It may not be possible to remain sitting on the premises. But we may be called to go out and to stand on the promises of God. Biblical authors made it clear that they knew, that they experienced and understood the true meaning of darkness. So when they spoke of Christ as the light of the world, they were ascribing to Him the ability to transform their world from one of darkness and despair to one of hope and joy. You must understand the darkness of that world to appreciate the words of the psalmist in Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Or the words of John, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Here's a question. What is God really like? We don't know. Haven't been there. Our little brain is too small, far too small. Yes, we've seen glimpses of God's glory, and for centuries we've been trying to interpret to the best of our human understanding. But we concluded that we can do nothing else but believe that God is like Jesus taught us. Jesus introduced God as Father, loving, compassionate, merciful, forgiving. And in our faith, Jesus sheds light on the nature of God. And our faith gives us a light to carry to a world still living in darkness. There is another kind of light, however. It is the searchlight of compassion, the searchlight of concern. The light moves us out into the darkness to seek and to find those who are lost. It is the light of the shepherd who leaves the 99 and goes out on the hillside to find the one sheep who is lost. It is the light that a woman shines looking for a precious coin. It is the light. It is the love of a loving God who will never, never let us go. You know that during the 18th century, before there were street lights, everyone whose property fronted on a street or an alley was required to hang out a light from 6 to 11 in the evening. In those days in London, they held everyone responsible for the safety of his neighbors from the dangers of the night. And there was a custom attached to it. Every evening around 6 o'clock, a person with a lantern would go about the streets crying out loud, "Hang out your lights! Hang out your lights!" May I with deep respect repeat the old call from the streets of London. People of God, hang out the lights. Hang out the lights. Someone observed in his dark basement that some potatoes had begun to sprout, even though they were in the darkest corner of the room. And he understood a little about gardening, and he wondered, how was that possible? That shouldn't have happened. How could they possibly obtain enough light to sprout? And he went into his basement and he looked around and he looked and he looked. And then he noticed that there on the other side of the basement was a copper kettle hanging on a wall opposite a small window. And the little sunshine coming in through the window reflected just enough light over into the dark corner where the potatoes were to allow them to sprout. Bit of a difficult image, but that one made me realize this is my job as a Christian. I know I'm not a great light. We know that we are not great lights. But we have learned from our mother's knee that we can at least reflect enough light from God that I can bring cheer even into the darkest corner. And I think that is the message of our day. That is the challenge of our time, that true followers of Jesus Christ will always, always strive to reflect that love, that compassion, that mercy, and that forgiveness. It is your and my turn now, and therefore we have made it part of our Cuvades quest. And since we first brought the message, several pews are empty of those beloved ones who departed in the past few years. Some of us are close to the border of this life, but we believe with all our hearts that the mission to carry the light is ours. That we should respond to the call. That our little lights should shine into the darkness. And when the torch will fall from our hands, we want a generation to take our place. A generation for whom we've prepared the way in this place. To hold God's torch up high and to carry the next generation into the future, into the light, into the light of God. Go then, hang out the lamps. Shine in the darkness. Amen.